call is now being recorded.
That's right, it is. How you doing?
You know, it's interesting. That's happening on every phone call I make.
Oh, is it keep doing that to you?
Yeah.
It did that to me for a while where it would do it just randomly, like just no reason. But that's one of the joys of Google, you know.
I want to try something. Four.
Oh, you think it might be, oh, if somebody says four. Okay, that would be funny if that worked.
Yeah, because I was talking to Anna, and I said, do you need me to come up to Elkton? And she says, no, that's not what I called you for. And it says, this call is now being recorded. and she goes, who is that? I said, it's hard to explain. You'll meet her tonight.
It's a strange relationship between men and their Google. But,
yeah.
Especially married men and their Google. I think you know, after the big press conference yesterday, there's something we definitely need to talk about, and it needs to be recorded. We need to put something online. Family Guy, Quest for Stuff, Plutonium. The big issue that we need to talk about.
In one day, I got 10.
Oh, wow.
Plutonium. Yeah. So, apparently, I'm getting the luck with the plutonium that you're getting with Jesus and
no,
the damn clam.
I think they may actually be listening to us, because I put in a complaint on it, and hopefully you did, too. And if anyone listens to this podcast, I hope they will also complain on the Google Play or the iPhone Apple Store, and I hope they complain and say, please, you know, more plutonium tasks, please, because doggone it.
We're wasting too much time.
That's what I think they're trying to do, though, is they're like, okay, if these people who are at the end of the game blast through this, that, you know, they're going to quit playing. So I think they're, like, trying to artificially stretch it out.
Yeah, but, okay, there's I don't know, man. It just, like, there's sort of fun ways to do that, like the Pawtucket Patriot brew house. What is that called? The brewery. You know, like,
yeah.
That's clever. They put that thing that's always in the events, they made one of those just for the actual game, just to keep the game going, and I thought, that's really clever, and that's not artificial, that is fun. Now you have something for Trisha, talking out would always do, and get you something, you know, like now you have characters that actually are worth something, and I thought the plutonium could be like that, and the fact that they only did it for three characters is just annoying, and,
Yeah.
Come on, Family Guy Quest for Stuff. Do your thing. Come on, Tiny Co. Come on. I'm enthralled by your game, and I want to continue to be.
It's amazing how, how much, they got to be printing money with that thing, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, well, how much money have they gotten from you? You know, $10, right? $10, $20, something like that?
I think actual out-of-pocket money less, because I told you, you know, my trick is I do the Google surveys thing, so.
Google surveys.
I know if I've at least topped in, you know, because if I enjoy a game, and I'm like, okay, I've spent more than 30 hours playing this, that's the point where I'll be like, all right, you know, I'll chuck down $20, you know.
Yeah. Well, I do want to get on record, and I told you so,
what's that?
One of the points that I had already made, and I made last time we did the podcast, last time I actually recorded something, today is, 2015, March the 11th, and yesterday, Hillary Rodham Clinton, the presidential hopeful of the Democrat Party, the only presidential hopeful for the Democrat Party. Everyone is afraid to put their name into the ring because they don't want to infringe on Hillary's arena. And
mark my words, if she's the nominee, then it's at least 4 years of President Jeb Bush.
Oh, wow. Ouch, what a dark future you just suggested.
It's going to be a choice between Dynasty 1 or Dynasty 2, you know.
Yes, and at least Jeb is a person. I hate the thought of there being the Bushes, but it's like Hillary Clinton is just so transparently, I am all about me. And she just, it's so transparent. It's so obvious to anyone who doesn't have, some sort of hypnosis disorder, which some of my friends do. Some of my friends are just like, no, she's so crazy. She can't do anything wrong. She's Hillary Clinton. And they're obsessed with her, and I don't understand why. But what the I told you so that I wanted to say, though, was I knew that she was going to say, all my emails had been recorded because they went to other government people whose emails were recorded. And,
they're out of the country, somebody else was using their private email.
That was exactly my point that I made to you last week when we talked about this. And
yeah,
you remember, I even asked you specifically, I said, if your email's recorded and I email you, and I have a blank slate computer that I can wipe every time, but your email's recorded. That email is findable, isn't it? And you said yes. You remember we broke it down like that. And that was I knew she was going to pull this. I knew that she was going to say, well, I was emailing people in the government until it's recorded. And then she's going to print out every email that was also recorded. Every email that has a findable trace to it has been printed out. And everything else, everything that she knows she's going to get away with, is degaussed. I mean, not just gone, I mean gone.
Here's the thing. I mean, as an IT guy, this is the thing that drove me the most bonkers. I mean, you know, anytime politics comes trampling into the IT world, it just pisses me off because, A, nobody understands it, and, B, you know, the people who are always championing things, you can always see where all their funding comes from. You know, the net neutrality stuff, the only people who are backing that are the ones who are, you know, sock puppets of Comcast and, you know, the other carriers. And, you know, the reason why you're not able to have any ISP you want at your house is because there's laws that stop that. Well, with the Hillary Clinton thing, I mean, I would dearly love the whole point of our podcast is you and I usually are standing in the middle of the political field going, man, look at these a-holes on both sides here. You know, why in the world are we wasting our money on this? You know, why are we making a gigantic, you know, why are the Republicans the big government party? You know, let's go ahead and have, all these extra levels of security and then people monitoring those people. And then let's get involved with who can marry who and,
wish we could get back to that. Goodness gracious. I do remember those days when I was like, man, Democrats are all racist and Republicans have Bibles up their asses. And that was my middle of the ground. And now it's like, the Democrats are basically, they're in this bizarre mode where it just seems like they're doing all the things that they could possibly do to exacerbate their stereotype of elitist, massive government jerks. And it's like, I don't know, I guess they're turning me into a libertarian because it's just, it's gotten so ridiculous recently. And my issue, too, is the Republicans, I'm feeling sorry for them because of the way they're treated. In the media, here's the thing. Here's the Democrats, this is their rule. I don't have to follow the rules. I can break all the rules ever written, and it doesn't matter because I'm cute and people like me. That's the Democrat motto. And the Republican motto, the Republican motto is... The Democrat rule about the Republicans is the Republicans have to follow all the rules. And if the Republicans even do something that remotely resembles something a Democrat would do, the Democrats jump on them and say, "How dare you! You evil bastard!" And like the thing with Iran. I don't know, the Republicans wrote a thing that basically said, "Hey, Iran, make all the deals you want, but we're gonna override it." And everyone's going, "This is unprecedented! How dare they do this? How dare they undercut the office of the presidency?" Well, the president did both the things that they did and got praised for it. He talked directly to the mullahs of Iran back in 2009 in a respectful way. Not in a condescending, "Hey, you guys are a bunch of a-holes, and anything that somebody does to help you, we're gonna undo." Which is how the Republicans went at it. The Republicans went at it in a very condescending, very anti-Iranian, Islamic Republic of Iran way. And, instead, President Obama talked directly to the mullahs, and validated their government, legitimately stating, you know, like, "Hey, you guys are the real rulers of Iran. Please go easy on those protesters," which basically, quelled the protest, because the protesters were just completely morale broken. And they were like, "Well, we thought America would have our backs, and instead America talked to the mullahs."
He did what
they're saying the Republicans did. The Republicans in no way helped Iran, yet Hillary Clinton said the Republicans either wanted to hurt the president or help Iran. And it's such a disingenuous, horrible thing to lie like that and to say clearly they were helping Iran. They didn't help Iran. They didn't say anything nice about Iran. They were being assholes to Iran. And they were being a-holes. Yes, they were being a-holes to the president. They were being a-holes to Iran. And also, can I say why they were being an a-hole to the president? Because the president said, "If you put any sanctions on Iran, I'm going to veto it." So the president said, openly, "I'm going to undermine any authority of one of the three branches of government." So one of those branches of government said, "We're going to undermine your authority," which is how a house divided stands.
Well, here's the thing. You know, we have an entire system of checks and balances. You know, you can pass something and it gets vetoed by the president. There's things that have been passed a dozen times that, you know, they back in the Reagan era, it's like, "Oh, yeah, it's just for show they're passing this because they know it's going to get vetoed." You know, and but my thing with Iran, you know, I would love to be non-interventionalist, you know, just because I think anytime you spend any money on anything in the Middle East, you're basically burning your cash. But with Iran, you know, we had Ahmadinejad, who was, you know, one of the terrorists from the, you know, from the 70s who became the president. But the cool thing is, you know, they voted him out. But if you allow them to get nuclear weapons and the ability to make nuclear weapons, and then they elect another Ahmadinejad, then you're going to have, you know, half the Middle East blowing.
Right.
It's, that was
my issue of praise. Why did I praise Netanyahu's speech?
Was Netanyahu pointed out the fact that this country doesn't want to threaten Israel with a nuclear explosion that kills everyone in Israel with a nuclear bomb. No. They threaten Israel, you know, with killing them with their bare hands. They want to threaten everyone else with the nuclear bomb. They have intercontinental ballistic missiles to put the warheads on. And I don't know if people understand geography enough to know that it's not a continent away to get to Israel. It's actually pretty darn close.
What's that?
Well, and I mean, hindsight being 2020, right now, war is a very surgical thing in the modern era. You know, America probably killed the most civilians in the world. But the percentage, if you look, you know, if you could roll back 100 years in the past, we're right about 100 years ago was World War One happening. You know, the level of bombings that occurred then, and then seriously in World War Two, you know, everybody was just carpet bombing everybody else. London was getting nailed by Germany and the Blitz, and then America drops carpet bombs all over Japan. You know, we killed 100,000 civilians in Tokyo. It's like, you know, now whenever a civilian is killed, it's such a tiny percentage. But that's the thing, is like, you know, it is a place where you have ideology that's, you know, hey, we have to, in our ideology, kill these schmucks. Are they somebody who, if armed with nuclear weapons, understands the concept of mutually assured destruction, or do they think, hey, I'm going to punch my ticket to the afterlife, you know? So
yeah.
I would dearly love to be completely non-interventionist with Iran, because, hey, they've shown that they can keep out of power the people who are the scariest. But that's not always going to be the case. And,
yeah.
You know, that's my libertarian leanings is, I don't want a powerful president in America either. You know, I don't want, you know, maybe you like the guy that's in office. Maybe you'll like the next guy or gal that's in office.
At some point
in our history, we're going to elect a Hitler, and I'd like him to have as little power as possible.
Right, because that's how the government was supposed to be here. Another big issue is you look at how our government has worked, how it's been very successful. And it's been very successful in one huge way. You know how this is the Baptist Republic of America? It is, right? Because our president says that he's a Baptist, right? So it's the Baptist Republic of America, right?
No,
of course
not.
For
you, there's more Catholics than anyone else here. This should be the Catholic States of America.
Exactly. Yeah, you see, but this is, you know, obviously my point is we've done a good job of keeping it an open playing field for religion by stating our government doesn't enforce religion. It will encourage the freedom of speech. It will encourage proselytization. You see big posters of people saying come to Jesus or read the Book of Mormon. You'll see lots of this stuff. But
yeah.
What in the world are these people looking at? I'm sorry. I'm at work right now.
And I'm about to arrive where my family is eating dinner. So
okay. Well, I just wanted to. I wanted to say we are supporting different groups around the world in our interventionist way. We are supporting groups that are pro the government enforcement of religious laws.
Yeah,
which is wrong. We all should be against that. If you're an independent, if you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, you should be against that, because these. And we are going around supporting them. And I said, I was talking to our producer yesterday, and I said, you know what this would be like? It would be like in World War II, if we saw divisions inside the German government and said, okay, America, we're not going to put boots on the ground in Germany. We found that in the National Socialist Party, there's a group called the Waffen Secret Service. And the Waffen Secret Service is against Hitler's regime. So we're going to do bombing strikes on Germany, but then we're going to give money to this group called the Waffen Secret Service, and we're going to back them to take over Germany.
Yeah.
Only because they don't like the same guy that we don't like. And it's like, no. It needs to go deeper than that. It needs to go, they're not going to enforce racial cleansing of Germany and the surrounding invaded countries. They're not going to invade other countries. These are the rules that we were fighting. These were what we were trying to put away, was stuff that they had set in stone. And that's whether it's Shiite or Sunni, if the group that we are supporting supports the government enforcement of Sharia law, we should not be supporting them militarily, period.
Or financially, or, I mean, yeah, let's quit handing money to people who then buy guns to kill us and their own people.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep trade open just because I do like to go to a hookah bar occasionally. But,
yeah, trade's okay.
I want to buy dates from, you know. Yes.
Don't tax me, then hand my money to somebody that hates me.
Amen. Amen. And people are like, well, okay. All right. Good chat. We'll put this online. It's our teaser. We're going to talk about Hillary as soon as we get the computer up and running and we sit down. It should be by Thursday.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.